handle sometimes, you know, how much God blesses, and we are just incredibly happy and blessed to be here, and it's been such an amazing journey for all of us. Most of the Brazilian staff couldn't even imagine that six months ago, they couldn't even imagine that they'd be here today. Like, Amanda and Vanoni, we met them January. Yeah, so the Lord is amazing. There's a song, probably you know it, it's by Michael W. Smith. It says, "Our God is an awesome God." And I can't express, you know, because it's just so overwhelming. It's just, and we're so blessed to be here. And we serve a living God. Yeah. I have the shirt here that we made up for this trip. It says, "Two Nations, One Mission." Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And I put up the two flags with Galatians 3:28. And it's the Bible verse that Joe read, you know, that we are one in Christ. And it's just unbelievable that we can travel like thousands of miles and we're at home, you know, because the kingdom has a culture. And we can learn it through the scriptures. And it's just so amazing to experience it in another country with people that we have met yesterday. And they are brothers and sisters and such good friends. You know, that's unbelievably believable for us. You know, it's overwhelming. So we are overwhelmed with joy as we start this service today. It's just, I don't know. I wish I could, like, somehow send this feeling to you, because it's I think some of you have that already. So it's awesome. So we are two nations, but we have one mission, and we are one kingdom. We are two nations on this earth, but we are actually one kingdom. So that's what brings us here. That's what, you know, we as a young people, and I think you as a church, have been doing lately. We've been working as one. And that's just so beautiful to see, you know. I can't express how thankful I am. Because when we started last year, Pete had the crazy idea of bringing some Brazilian guys up here. And he said, you know, okay, how many people would we need? Okay, maybe six people. And then we have 15 on the list. And, you know, and the amount of money that the Lord's raised is just unbelievably believable. And it's just so good to be in His grace. You know, if you don't know that, I urge you, I invite you. It's awesome. You have to know the Lord if you still don't. I don't have words to express it. So maybe through the sermon I can try to transmit a little bit of that for you. So, and I put the cross because that's what unites us, you know, as a people. You know, it's the work of Christ in the cross over 2,000 years ago. And that's just unbelievably believable. So, my nickname would be the postponer. Pete actually called me the procrastinator. But I tend to soften it a little bit. So the postponer sounds good. And when I gave the message title to Judy, I still didn't have everything ready. And I was finishing the semester at college, so it was crazy, but, you know, the Lord blessed it. So I am changing it slightly. I'm talking more about perspective and happiness today. I was going to use the text of, if you want to have a read at home, 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 20, I think. I was going to use that. That's a good text if you want to read later at home. But the Lord actually changed my mind yesterday. So I'm talking a little bit about perspective. And, you know, what's perspective? What's perspective? You guys can speak. O que é perspectiva? What's perspective? A viewpoint, right? A viewpoint. Yeah, I think that's the best, like, textbook definition we can get, right? It's a viewpoint. It's a point of view. So, for example, my perspective here in front is different from each and every one of you, of your perspective right now. And I really enjoy photography. I'm going to be taking some pictures. So it's awesome. You know, there was an experiment. They gave a camera to like a three-year-old, and a mom gave a camera to a three-year-old, and then the kid just went out and took some pictures, and the results were amazing, you know, to see see life through a kid's perspective, you know. And I want to talk a little bit about our perspective and God's perspective today. I'm a bit nervous, so don't mind it. Okay, so for that, I would like to open Isaiah 55. It's just an awesome text. In Brazil, you know, whoever finds it says amen, and whoever hasn't found it says mercy. So in a minute I'll ask, and then you say amen, either amen or mercy. Anyone needs mercy? Amen? Okay. So I'll read. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you, because the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out in joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn of the bush, the cypress will come up. And instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. It's just awesome. It's just awesome. You know, the Lord's word is so powerful. I was sitting here with Peter yesterday when we were watching, you know, the guys sing, and we were talking. How awesome is our God? You know, it's too much. It's overwhelming. So, again, my urge to you is, if you still don't know that everlasting joy, seek it while he may be found. You know, because it's more than whatever this word can offer to you, and we're gonna talk a little bit about that. So, cravings. So, the beginning of the text, the first verses, The writer calls you to come and eat, right? Everyone has cravings, either physical ones. I'm not sure. If what I say don't make sense, you can just raise your hand, because I may use a word that is not as you would use it. But so, okay, if you don't understand, raise your hand. So cravings. Everyone craves something. You just look out the window, you look at your neighbors, you look at everyone. Everyone is seeking something, right? At Drime, we have a drama the name is Crave. So I believe everyone in life has a feeling of pursuit of something, you know, and I believe that's something God put in our hearts. And people try to follow their cravings whatever way they can, you know, and that's why you see people like I'm sorry. Okay. You know? I don't know how your life is, and I don't know your context, I don't know your background, I don't know how you came up here today. I don't know if someone dragged you along, because there would be a Brazilian guy maybe doing some things. Maybe, I don't know. So I don't know how you ended up here. But I know that God's word is alive. And if you open your ears for it, it will absolutely change your life. I'm here. How many here? And it's okay if you don't want to raise your hand, it's fine. How many here are a living proof of that, of how much God has done in your life? Raise your hand real high. Look around. That's how awesome our God is. You know. And we're not saying it just for saying it. You know, I'm not here saying it just because, oh, okay, I'm here, so I'm going to say that. No, I'm saying it from the bottom of my heart. And I believe many people who raised their hand did it from the bottom of their heart. So we serve a powerful God. And that is just overwhelmingly good. And people who are out there in the world, they don't know that. They don't know what that feeling is. Even though the world is falling apart, everything's falling apart around you, you have peace inside. Because you know that the Lord is taking care of you. And as Romans 8:28 says, I'm going to paraphrase it because I only know it in Portuguese by heart. You know, all things work together for the good of the ones who love the Lord. So, even though the word, you know, last year I lost my uncle. He was a pastor in a town there and in a city. And it was incredibly hard. And we didn't understand. And it just, you know, if I didn't have the Lord, I don't know where I'd be. You know, I lost my mom when I was 9. But all things work together. It's hard to say it. I mean, it's not easy to stand here. And I'm not just saying from da boca para fora for the Brazilians. I don't know the expression for that. But anyways, I'm not just saying, you know, I mean it. So, and everyone craves something. And if you look around, it's fairly easy to acknowledge that, right? It's pretty easy to look and see people going after a new car, and see people going after a new house, and see people going after something, a better job, recognition. It's not hard. You just look around. You'll see it everywhere. And even sometimes people hide it, but it's there, you know. So you crave something. Everyone craves something. And in the beginning of the text, they're saying, come and eat. Come and drink for free. We're going to talk a little bit about, like, what's that. First, I wanted to make a comparison. Time is money, right? Yeah. So, we don't have... Okay, I'm going to get back to that a little bit later. That's no problem. Yeah, okay. So, we have no money. That's my point. And that's God's point. You know, we have no money. I would ask someone to open in Isaiah 64:6. Can anyone raise their hand to read it aloud? Please? Okay, right there. Yes, thank you. Someone to open on Romans 3:20. Romans 3:20. Yeah, thanks. And James 2:10. Okay, yes. Okay. So, once you've opened in Isaiah, you can read. Yeah. So, even our righteous acts before God, they are filthy rags. And you know what? We're going to talk about what? Can you read Romans? Yeah. So, basically, if you ask anyone around in the street, like, hey, do you think you're going to go to heaven?
Yes.
Why are you going to go to heaven? What's a good person? What's the parameter of good? I know if compared to that politician that is filthy, I'm good. I mean, God will look at me and say, yeah, this one's clean. Come on. Right? That's what general, like people who don't know the Lord would say. Right? Good people go to heaven. And what, sorry, your name is? Scott. Yeah. What Scott just read is no one, absolutely no one will be justified through obedience of the law. So if you're putting your hopes on you, I'm sorry, you got no money. You got no money. Because money is sinless. It's sinless life. And your life is not sinless. My life is sinful. And the more I look at myself, the more I realize how sinful I am. You know, and the more, and if I take Christ as a parameter, because that's what our parameter should be. If I take Christ as a parameter, I'll see that my life is definitely not clean. And the more I know Christ, the more I know that the farther apart I am, and the more I need His grace. But we're going to talk about that in just a second. And James 2:10. Yeah. So if you give these two verses to whoever answers yes to my question, where's their hope? Because they are looking to buy money, they are looking to buy food and drink, and they think they have money. They think that they're good enough. But what the Bible says, hey, you're not good enough. And that's crushing. I mean, it's crushing. It's absolutely crushing. Once you realize the full extent of that, I mean, it's desperating if you don't have the Lord. And when I was a kid, I used to go to Sunday school. I was brought up in a Christian home. And so, like, I was the kid who wanted to do everything just right, so that I would please my father, my family, and then, you know, I would be accepted. Because if you're good, then you're in, right? If you do your Sunday school work, if you come to church on Sundays, if you behave nicely, my father will love me, right? If I do well, my father will love me. And so whenever I sinned, that just crushed me. Because I saw, you know, I'm not going to heaven. I'm not. I just sinned. And so what I would do, as I'd wait for the Lord to calm down a bit. You know, okay, Lord, you stay there. I'll stay here. I'll pretend I'm good for some time. And once you've calmed down, we can talk again. And then we can, you know, have a relationship. And that's isn't that what we do many times? Like, we sin, and then we wait God to calm down. And then, okay, a couple of days later, I may get my Bible and read a verse, just so, you know, the Lord likes me a little bit more. Sorry, man, we got no money. I mean, we are broke. I mean, flat broke makes sense? Yeah, we're flat broke. I wish I could know more words to describe that, but, you know. Bankrupt, yes. That's pretty much what we are. And so no one can go to heaven. Yet the Lord is inviting us to come and eat. Yet the Lord is inviting us to come and drink. So, what's that? I mean, we don't have money. And he asks, why do you spend money? Money may be time, or maybe your actual money. Why do you spend your resources on what does not satisfy? Because the cravings that the world's going after, they don't satisfy. Because they always need a new car, and there's always someone richer than they are. And there's always a bigger house, and there's always something new, and a new shirt, and a new car, and something new, you know. In Brazilian, it's the same consumption culture, you know. And it's just, it's never enough. It doesn't satisfy. So why are you, I'm asked, I don't know, how are you spending your, that's a good question. How are you spending your money, or your time, or your life? Are you spending on things that do not satisfy? Like, truly question yourself. Because then, I mean, time passes fast, and you get old. Each year is faster than the one before. Pete knows it. Yeah. I'm going to use Pete because he's been known to sleep in church. So I'm actually going to use him as an example sometimes. And I see him kind of like long blinking. I'll call his name. So each year is faster than the one before. Like, I'm 23, but yesterday I was 16. And probably Peter's 53. But for, ooh, yeah. See, a year passed by and I didn't even notice. That was fast, yeah. So, you know. And then once time has passed, like, how have you spent your money? How have you spent your time? How have you invested what you've been given? That's a strong question, you know. And we have to ask ourselves that constantly. Like, what am I spending my energy on? Am I worrying about temporary things? What's the term that we were talking this morning? Rubbish, other term for?
Refuse, rubbish.
More? No, it was another one. Was it M? I don't know.
Oh, manure.
Manure. That's what I was going for. What is manure? Waste, yeah. Okay, I might be disrespectful here, but I'm going to say poop, right? That's what it is, right? And what is poop? I mean, It's something you ate yesterday, isn't it? Or 2 days ago. So, I don't know how fast your body processes food. Some people may take longer than that, but okay. I usually eat the next day. Sorry, I shouldn't have shared that probably. Okay, so. So basically, like, a car is poop. Think about it. Whenever I read that text from Philippians 3, in Brazil, in Portuguese, it says the term is manure, or, yeah, like livestock feces, right? So, whenever I read that text, I thought, oh, Paul is so spiritual, you know, because he's considering everything, we're going to read it a little bit later, everything as poop. But if you think about it, a car is here today, maybe next year is not anymore. My computer is here today. You know, there's a, when I studied last year high school in Canada, and I loved a sign that my history teacher had in, like, above the board. It says, everything you have in 30 years, it will be material for garage sale, it will be in rubbish, it will, like, it's not going to be there anymore in 30 years. And that is manure. So, I thought, you know, so spiritual, but yet so rational, right? Because what's here today is not going to be here tomorrow. And life is so fast. And time is money. So what are you doing with your money? And I don't mean, I'm not here to teach you finances. My finances are not good. I'm a student, so I shouldn't be probably giving advice on that. But, you know, a good question is how you're spending your money, which is equal to time. So we have no money. So bottom line is, and what I realized when I was a kid is, you'll never do enough. You'll never be enough to get there. You're never going to reach that, what do you call that? Level. Yeah, yeah, level. Okay, simple word. That is going to be satisfying for the Lord. Because your even your righteous acts, they are filthy rags if you're doing them to, like, out of the your own pride, thinking that you can reach somehow the Lord. You know, and that's all the other religions. That's people trying to reach God. You know, that's what it is. People trying to do good deeds so that they can be good enough and that God may accept them, whatever God that is. So that's all the other religions pretty much. And Christianity is just the opposite. It's God coming down. And that is unbelievably believable. And that is overwhelmingly powerful. And that's why I'm here. And that's why we're all here this morning. So, you'll never do enough, you'll never be enough, not by yourself, not by yourself. I'd like to read Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 10. I can read it, you don't need, if you want to open, that's fine. Verses 3 to 10, so you can't go there, you can't reach that level by yourself. Yet, God is inviting you to come and drink, to come and eat something that satisfies permanently and not temporarily. And Isaiah 53, 3 to 10 says this. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from men, from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And his scourging, I don't know this pronunciation, by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due, his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death. Because he had done no violence, nor there was, nor nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. I mean, that is overwhelming. We got no money, but Christ is a billionaire. And that's the only reason why we can have access to God. So you'll never do enough. You'll never be good enough. But God is calling you. You don't have to do anything. And that is grace. And I mean, it changes your life completely. It has changed mine. And I believe many people here have had their lives changed by that. And once you, I don't think we're going to ever grasp the grace, because it's just so much, you know. And I was saying that the more I looked at myself, the more I saw that I'm not good enough, but the more I can look to Christ and see He's enough. He can say to you, my grace is sufficient. And His grace is sufficient. I mean, I'm here. It's crazy. We're going to talk about some more stuff, but it's okay. So, nice little Portuguese English thing. In Portuguese, once you've eaten, like in English, once you've eaten and you've had enough, you say, "Oh, I'm full," right? That's what you would say. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. In Portuguese, no. In Portuguese, we consider that impolite to use the expression "full." We would say "satisfied." But I believe you guys have it better. Because, I mean, I was eating churrasco the other night, and I would like to have more. I was not satisfied. But hey, I was full. And if you look around, everyone has cravings, and they are trying to fill up a hole in their lives. And they have it full for a second or a fraction of a second when they buy something or when they do something or when they use something, maybe a substance. And for a fraction of a second, they're full. And next moment, next thing you know, they're empty again. You know? And there's a joke that goes, you know, there was a... I'm going to try to keep the tradition of bad jokes. Or corny jokes. So, there was a kid eating, and he said, "Hey, Mom, I'm full," which would be impolite in Portuguese. And Mom said, no, come on, son, you can't say that, that's impolite. And, okay, so what do I say? Okay, you say, "I'm satisfied." Okay, Mom, so I'm satisfied. Okay, so next day, they're at the bus stop, and there comes a bus, and the kid goes to his mom and says, "Hey, Mom, there comes a satisfied bus." You know, it's just not the same thing to be full and to be satisfied. Right? So a lot of people are full, and they're trying to fill up. There's a song by Switchfoot, maybe some of you know the band Switchfoot. It says, the name of the song is "Meant to Live." And the lyrics go, "We were meant to live for so much more." And a part of the lyric says, "I want more than this world, than this world's got to offer." You know, so I'm going to use the comparison of food to talk about this text of Isaiah. Because you may be trying to fill up yourself, and that's not working. And you're frustrating over and over again. You're frustrating yourself. But the Lord is inviting you to be satisfied. To be satisfied. Even though the world is falling apart around you, you will be satisfied. When I lost my uncle, it's tough to say. But I was satisfied. Because I knew Romans 8:28 by heart. And that's the importance of knowing God's word. You know where hope is. You can look up to the mountains and you know where your rescue is coming from. It's coming from the Lord. And the Lord is awesomely powerful and overwhelmingly good and gracious. And even though He may like hurt you temporarily, it's for your eternal good. So, you know, that's overwhelming. You know, so God can make you satisfied. This world can try to get you full. It's not possible. But God can get you satisfied. That's the invitation the Lord is making in Isaiah 55. That's the invitation He's making. And that is, you're not going to find anything not even close to that in this world. And I assure you of that. I assure you. And that's not just saying da boca para fora in Portuguese. It's not just saying, you know. It's from the bottom of my heart. Because once you start living with the Lord and you lead your life with the Lord, it's awesome. You know, I am just, and everyone who is at in God's hands to work is a simple man, is a simple woman. You know, we're nothing fancy. We're, what's the word again? Manure. That's what we are. Tomorrow, I mean, you go to a graveyard, that's what you'll find, right? And we try to kid ourselves that we're something great, but we're manure. And the Lord's word said many times that we are like the flowers of the field, that they're here today, tomorrow they're not. And yet, when I say that we are manure, we tend to laugh, right? Because we think we're so much more than that. And, okay, for the Lord, we are more than that. But we are temporary. In this aspect, we're just like it, you know? Because we're here today, tomorrow we're not. So the Lord is calling you to be satisfied. So be satisfied. Worldly hedonism? Yeah? Hedonism is, you're never going to get enough of it. I mean, you can always try something and something. And, you know, from the movies and series we see from America, that's what college is all about. It's trying to fill up yourself. You know, get that feeling once again. Get that experience. Get it. And the moment is, I don't think we have this expression in Portuguese. Moments are fleeting moments. And next thing you know, you're frustrated again and your life sucks. Sorry, is it okay to use that word? Okay, yes. I set the bar low with poop, right? So I think it's okay. I'm sorry. And then your life is really bad. Okay, I think that makes a point. And so we want more than this world's got to offer. Because if you're going to college, if you're a kid or a teenager or a young person, and you're going to, you know, you're looking after something in life, everyone here, the elderly people, they can tell you, it's never going to be enough. Next day, you're going to be empty again. Your stomach's going to be empty, and that pie is going to be manure. So, what are you spending your money on? What are you spending your life on? And I know many of you have been spending it wisely, have been investing it wisely. Otherwise, I mean, I wouldn't be here. Not to say, I'm not saying that I'm a good guy, that so you're investing your money well, but you know, you're working for the kingdom, and that is beautiful, and that is beautiful, you know, and you're looking beyond yourselves, because we as, I speak from my context, but maybe yours is similar. In our church, you know, in our churches, we tend to look at ourselves and look at our needs as a church and what we need, what do we need. And so in Brazil, we're always making events in my church, you know, and it's sometimes it's good to look outside, you know. And then, like, Pete had the opportunity, incredible opportunity, to start working with a guy from Malawi. And that is just, you know, looking beyond your context. Looking beyond what your eyes are seeing right now, you know. And that's vision, that's perspective. That's kingdom's perspective. And, I mean, if you still don't have that, I urge you to get it. Because that's satisfying. Anything else is not going to satisfy you. I think I'm going to break the record in terms of time, because we still have a long way to go. So, yeah, we're on Brazil time, so that's okay. So that's what the Lord offers to for you to be satisfied. And Jeremiah 29, you know, Joe read, once you seek the Lord with all your heart, He's going to show Himself to you. He is. It's His promise. It's His promise. It's in His word. And you can say, Lord, please, and He will show Himself to you. I firmly believe that. I firmly do. So if you still don't know the Lord, man, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're going to be, you're never going to be satisfied. You're going to try to fill up your life so much. And you're going to get so frustrated because it's never enough. It's never enough. And even, like, some people grow up in religious backgrounds, and like I did, and they try to fill up the hole between me and God with my good deeds, and it's never going to work. It's never going to work. So whatever you do, you know, sometimes we are so proud, you know, arrogant. Proud in the sense of arrogant, you know. So we're never going to get there. So verses 2 and 3 are about that. You know, come and eat, come and drink without money. Because we don't have money. I mean, we're broke. But Christ did everything. And that changes our lives. Okay. And Philippians 3, 7 and 8 is that text about manure. And you guys have rubbish written on it. I think manure says it better. Because, I don't know, I just think that. Okay, so be satisfied. Verses 6 and 7, I'm going to read them. 56, 6 and 7, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So if you're in that situation, if you're looking at yourself and you're saying, hey, I'm broke, run to him. Call upon Jesus. Call out, you know. I had an incredible experience last year. I was feeling really bad. I lived with two colleagues, but they're not Christian. And so I live in Porto Alegre. It's the capital of my state. And my family lives in a small town, just like Narragansett. And so I'm away from my family from Monday through Friday. And sometimes it's tough, you know, being alone there in the big city. Because I'm a small city guy, small town guy. And I was just really, a really rough time I was having. And then I was just looking at my computer and just, you know. And then Pete said, hey, like, out of the blue, he said, hey, how are you? Like, for real, how are you? And I set the bar low, so it's okay. I, like, vomited everything. You know, I just spit everything out. Everything that was going on, all the problems. And he helped me through, you know. And you, in the life with the Lord, you can experience so much times of providence. And that was just one, you know. And that was just one. And the fellowship that we have as a people, it's, the world can't give you anything like that. The world can't give you. Because it's selfless faith, as we sang before. It's selfless. Because if Christ was so selfless, how can I be selfish? If Christ died for me, how can I stay in my place and try and figure out my life and not look beyond myself? And that's what the gospel is all about. Is reaching for other people. And that's what the mission in Two Nations, One Mission is all about. It's about reaching out to other people and saying, hey, there's hope. Hey, you're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to be satisfied. But the Lord can satisfy you. By yourself, you can't do it. Yes. In Brazil, when I'm speaking for too long, I have my friend Jose bring me some water. So I know that I'm going on too long, so I'm going to make it shorted. I don't know if Amanda knows that, but yeah, I understand. I get the message. But I'm here to break the record. So vision and purpose is our next topic. And I want to go verses 8 through 11. So vision and purpose, I'm going to read them. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing the seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So my point, and I think the point of this part of the text is, hey, God has a purpose for you, and it's unimaginably better than what you could ever plan. I mean, I could never have planned for this. I know Vanoni and Jenny and Amanda could never have planned for this, because 6 months ago we didn't know each other. So our thoughts are not the Lord's thoughts, and the Lord's ways are so, so much higher than our ways. And it is unbelievably believable and good and better than whatever the world can offer you. And better than whatever the world can offer you. So that's amazing. I mean, and I was talking to Peter yesterday. We were talking about tapestry and threads. Like, imagine that a woman would be making tapestry. Is that okay? Yeah. And then a kid would be watching. And there would be like all those threads, and it's a mess, and you don't understand. And then the kid, of course, the kid, we would understand, but the kid wouldn't. So a kid would say, from their perspective, hey, mom, what are you doing? And you say, oh, I'm making tapestry. Like, what's that? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. it's all a mess. Like, I just see threads all everywhere, and there's just, I don't know, whatever you have in tapestry. I don't know the vocabulary, but, you know, you get it. You get it, right? And so the mom would say, no, I'm making a picture. And then get, you know, like, no, I can't see anything. You're just, like, moving threads around. And then maybe 3 months later, tapestry is ready, and the mom calls the kid and, say, and says, hey, I don't know, how big would be, is that okay? Yeah. Like, this is what I made. And then the kid, like, understands what the mom was doing. So the Lord has many threads, and he is sewing his kingdom together, if that makes sense for you. And Pete said that, you know, we can trace Brazilian VBS back to when Diane Cranes moved to Germany. Because that's when she was involved with Teach Beyond and English camps. And that's how Pete went to Brazil. And that's how we're here. But actually, you can trace it back, way back to Abraham. And that is fantastic. That is fantastic. It's just awesome how God is suing it. It's just, you know, and when you go through a rough part of your life, you know, you can rest because the Lord is making his work. And you can rest because it's for your eternal good. So, you know, it's so comfortable. You know, it's the most comfortable place you can ever be. It's the most comfortable place you can ever be. Am I close, John, to the record?
No.
Not even close? Oh, okay. Okay. So, one mission. That's the next part of our text. I'm actually, from the text that I just read, I'll read verses 10 and on again. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So, point of this part is, hey, it's one mission and you've got a role in it. You've got a role in it. Everyone's got a role in it. Oh, but I'm not good enough. No one's good enough. Flashing news. Woo. No one's good enough. Like, what you got to do is be available for the Lord. You know, that's all you got to do. That's what Vanoni and Amanda did. That's what Jenny did. Like, Vanoni and Amanda, they were actually not even a plan to be a part of our summer camp staff. And they went there one weekend, you know. And they said, oh, this is awesome. We got it. And they were actually working. And so they came only on weekends because they were that's the time that they had available. And so they said, hey, the Lord is doing something here. Let's be a part of it. Let's be available to it, you know. And here they are. And here they are. So, and they didn't do anything spectacular. I'm not criticizing you guys, but, you know, they didn't do anything, whoa, like, you know, they were just there. You know, first time that I did a drama, you had to see it. It was the worst thing you could ever see, maybe. Because I did Jesus' part, and then my expression was like zero. And always the leader of our ministry, she would say, when you play the part of Jesus, when you crucify, you have to close your legs. Because how can you crucify with your legs open, right? Because, like, the cross is, right? And so the first time I was playing the part of Jesus, I was, like, totally wrong. And after that, I was like, I did such a bad job, you know. And then I went home and I was just so frustrated. And it's just, I'm not good. I mean, this is not my thing. Maybe I don't have talent. And my father came up. My father's a great guy. He came up to my room and he said, you know, like, why are you feeling down? I mean, and I said, oh, you know, I made so many mistakes in playing the part of Jesus. I did a terrible job. And he said, really? I didn't even notice. So, and sometimes the Lord uses your brokenness to heal other people's brokenness. And he has used, and he will use. So don't worry, you know, to be a part of a mission, you don't have to be a superhero. I like to wear superhero shirts, but you don't have to be a superhero. Because Christ is. And he will, you know. usually when people preach on David and Goliath, they see Christians as David and Goliath as whatever enemy you have. But actually, we are the terrified people of Israel watching Christ defeat Goliath. That's actually who we are. We are actually really afraid of life and facing everything. But we have a really strong Savior. Our God is an awesome God. Yeah, so it's super powerful. Really. So be available. You don't have to do anything. I started out, you know, there's a pastor there. I really admire a pastor there. That he started like storing soda for after youth group meetings, you know. His job was to keep the Coke cold. That's how you start. I mean, you don't have to do anything great to start. You know, the Lord's got a role to everyone. Be available and you will be astonished by what the Lord's going to do with you. Because the Lord brought us here and we couldn't. You know, I think I'm going on too long, but it's just because it's so real, you know. So I have to say that. I'm sorry. So happiness, overwhelming joy. We're going to read verses 10 through 13. Okay, so verse 10 is, "For as the rain doesn't go down without accomplishing its purpose." And 11, "So will my word, which goes forth from my mouth." And 12 says, "For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up, and instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord, for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off." Yesterday, I was talking to Lucas, and we were just, you know, talking how we were saying how we were feeling, and it's, we can't describe really, you know. I have overflowing joy in my heart right now. And it's, you got, if you haven't experienced that, if you don't remember anything from this summer, remember that the God can satisfy you. God can satisfy you. You can try to fill up whatever way you want, but you won't be able to. But the Lord can satisfy you. The Lord can bring you overwhelming joy. And not temporary joy, as the world can provide. Not temporary good feelings of experience something or another thing. But the Lord can give you everlasting. And another word that I really appreciate in the English language, that I don't know if we have one in Portuguese, it's steadfast. That's steadfast in our hearts. You know, I'm not saying, Allah, you'll never experience a time of trouble. No, we have tons of times of trouble. But we have our brethren with us. And we can look up to them. And Pete's my brother. And he's going to say, "How are you doing for real?" And I can say everything. And we can walk together. That's the point of the book of James. Like, pray for each other so that your sins may be healed. And help one another. You know, there's so many texts using one another. Because that's what we ought to do. So it's unbelievably good to be part of this family. So to close, one kingdom, one mission. I put the two flags, but I put them together because we're one. Because God's kingdom is one. And I think we're going to be amazed in heaven. I think we're going to be amazed for eternity, you know. And so I'd like to read John 17, 20 through 26. That's the prayer of Jesus right before, I think, the ascension. Amen or mercy? Mercy for me. So John 17. Amen? Okay, so Christ is praying, and he prayed about, you know, for his disciples, on behalf of his disciples, and he says from verse 20 and on, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. I'll stop here because it's awesome. Let's just take a moment, you know. That's awesome. And that's what we're doing here. You know, we're an answer to Jesus' prayer, and that is, what do you say when you're, I don't know. I don't have words for that. So that's what it's like. You know, so we are an answer to Jesus' prayer. This is unbelievable. Yet here we are, so that the world may see. Shine the light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of a risen King. Because he didn't stay there. That's okay, that's too much. Okay, 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. So if you want to have a look at that text of Corinthians, that would be the part two of the sermon. I'm not going to go on because then I'd break the record. And that's about motivation that is in your bulletin, you know. I always do that. I'm finishing up and then I have some more text. We're probably going to read a bit of Corinthians. Okay, and then the final says, and I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. So this is just awesome. I mean, maybe that's the word I've used the most today. Because that's what the Lord is. Our God is an awesome God who reigns from heaven. I don't know the rest. But, you know, he is awesome. He is awesome. We're going to quickly go to... I may start another sermon now. Is that okay? We're Brazilian time, right? Yeah, so 2 Corinthians 5. I'm not going to comment a lot on that, I promise. But we're going to read from verses 11 and on. And that's about the mission. Okay, bear with me. From 11 and on, 2 Corinthians 5, 11 and on. I'll read first 11 and stop for a second. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciousness. So once you know the fear of the Lord, your mission is to seek to persuade people and spread out this love. You know, I think we're going to jump to verse 14. Yes, 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So Christ died for you so that you may die for other people, so that you may die for yourself to reach other people, and so that the love of Christ may control you, may compel you, may drive you. And that's powerful. And that's the kingdom. You know, it's one kingdom and one mission. And it's to spread out this love and to be united in Christ. And that is awesome. And you can read the sequence at home, but it says that we are ambassadors of Christ. And I believe Brazilian staff is here as something like that. And you are here in Narragansett and Wakefield and wherever you live as ambassadors of the kingdom. Because the kingdom has a culture, as I said in the beginning. It's the culture of serving and of selfless faith. And so that's what we are called to do. To show that there's so much more than the world has to offer. There's so much more. And we are so overwhelmed with joy from that. So, yeah. So, I think that's it. We can close in prayer. And then I don't know what's next, but yeah. No. Yeah, after, I think we're going to have a song. And then after the song, we're going to have like small groups of prayer. So if you want to double with someone, like pair up with someone and pray, you can pray for whatever the Lord drives you to. Special prayer for VBS and for Luca, who is arriving here today, and for the kingdom, you know, here on in Brazil, everywhere, in the Middle East, in China, everywhere. We have persecuted brethren right now. So if you want to pray for that, we have so much to pray for. So my challenge for you today is, let's try to look beyond ourselves. Because when we do that, we see that the Lord is so powerful. And we leave our misery and we start living out the kingdom. And that is, I am going to use the word awesome again, because that's just what it is. Okay, so after the song, Pete will signal you to pair up and pray. And then, but let's just pray now to close it. Dear Lord, we are so thankful. We are humbled and we are honored, Lord, to see your spirit here. And to see you speaking, Lord, and to see everything that you have done, Lord, and that you will do through VBS. And thank you for everyone who is in here, Lord. My desire is that if someone here doesn't know you, Lord, that they might come to know you, Lord. That they might, you know, fall on their knees, Lord, knowing that they got no money. They have no money, like I did and like many people here did. Because then you will, like a father who received his son, you will clean us, you'll wash us clean, you'll put him some clothes, new fresh clothes, and you're going to invite us in to your family and to your kingdom. And that is just awesome, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for the generosity of these people from this church, Lord. It's just awesome to see how much you have done through them. And my prayer is that this church will prosper, Lord, in every way, Lord, that you may send people to work, that you may send, you know, that you would give them dreams, Lord, and that they may have the resilience, Lord, to pursue these dreams and to encourage one another, Lord, in the text that Pete's like so much from Hebrews 10, you know, 24, Lord, that people might continue to gather together and encourage each other and one another, Lord. That's it. And I want to thank you for everything, because it's just overwhelming, Lord, and it's just such a blessing to be here. So thank you. And may you continue to speak with us through the days and through the week we're going to be here and through the rest of the year, because you are the God of every day, Lord. You're with us every day. Help us to live out your kingdom every day in our lives, and not just in these moments, but in every step of the way, Lord. Thank you so much, and thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, because that's what unites us, and we're so, so, so thankful for that. So that's it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.